All right, we're back, and we are joined by a special guest today. We have Matt joining us from the Blue Triangle Gallery. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We'd love it if you could just start off maybe by introducing yourself and maybe telling us a little bit about your role at Blue Triangle.
Sure. I'm Matt DeBuell. I am owner, curator, installer at Blue Triangle Gallery. It's a little like side project I started up about a year and a half ago, just because I saw like a bunch of my favorite galleries in Boston kind of disappear and thought it would be fun to start up. And I have a bunch of friends in the arts that do amazing things that no one ever gets to see. So I was like, this could be a little fun adventure to do. And yeah, we're still going strong.
Nice. Yeah. So it's been a pretty recent project.
Yeah. We're still kind of getting the hang of things, but everything's kind of starting to click now, which is really cool. We've had a bunch of amazing artists show, and yeah, it's been cool.
Nice. I'm curious what galleries were disappearing in Boston that you...
All right.
Kind of really liked.
So a few of my favorites were obvious. So our gallery most closely resembles this legendary little gallery called Lot F, which was in the financial district, kind of tucked away above a dive bar called Biddy Early's.
Okay.
And so it had a similar vibe to ours. Ours is above a Chinese food place in Chinatown. And you kind of go up some sketchy stairs at both places before you reach the gallery, where you're sort of like, what am I getting myself into? And then you kind of turn a corner and there's like surrounded by beautiful art. So, Lot F was around for probably 10, 11 years. It was one of my favorite spots to go to, just to meet new people, meet artists and see the art. And then that kind of closed down, not because of COVID, but just before COVID, I would say. And I kept kind of waiting for the couple that ran it, one of them, to maybe bring it back, and that never happened. Around the same time, there was a gallery that closed that used to be above Orchard Skate Park, Skate Shop. Super cool gallery. It was kind of curated by my friend TJ Kelly, who's also a really cool artist and has shown at our place. And then Orchard moved its shop from Alston to North End, and it's kind of a smaller place, and they didn't have room to continue the gallery. So that was another fun one that I really liked.
Yeah, nice. And have you kind of always been, have you worked like with curation before, and kind of what's like your background in either art galleries, or was this kind of like a new project that you wanted to start?
Yeah. In college, I went to CCS, College for Creative Studies, in Detroit, and while I was there, I kind of helped out with the student gallery a little bit, but I wasn't, like, a member of the team or anything. I didn't help curate or anything like that. I would just sort of, like, see them working on it, and I'd jump in to help hang stuff and things like that. And then when I first moved to Boston, I got this job that I didn't even know was a real job. I didn't know it existed. It was an art handling job. And I was like, so we just kind of like move art around all day? And they're like, yeah. And then I was like, all right, I'll take it. Cause I was like, at least it has something to do with art,
right,
and I'll get some money and help pay rent and everything. And my second day, I think I was at the Isabella Stewart Gardner, like hanging a Rembrandt. And I was like, holy crap, this is worth more than my life. Like, I don't want to touch it. So I got a lot of experience like working with art and like hanging and packing and transporting art through that. And then after that, I got a design job at Converse that I had for about 10 years and just met so many amazing, talented artists with all this cool work that they did that I felt like not enough people got to see. So
nice. Was the job at Converse, so that was like a design based job for like their like advertising graphics or more of their shoe design as well?
Yeah, I was mostly on the product side. So I did a lot of work for footwear, a little bit of work for apparel, and yeah, we did some shoe design, some graphics for shoes, graphics for apparel. I worked on the licensing team. It's like kind of a side gig there, which was cool. So we got to do all the like Pokemon shoes and Transformers and like kind of the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Chucks are such a good canvas for that because it's like so much empty space that you can fill with graphics and art. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Did you, kind of, when you had this idea to start Blue Triangle, was that something you wanted to start with people you were working with at Converse, or was this just kind of like a side thing for yourself?
It's definitely more just, it was a side thing for myself. I kind of still do a lot of the work by myself, but there's, I have a bunch of friends that like pitch in and like, honestly, I couldn't do it without them. If there was a permanent team, I would consider them part of the permanent team. But working at Converse is definitely a big help because I knew I had good friends to help fill the walls with art when I wasn't sure how other artists would react that I didn't know, like reaching out, like people who I've followed on Instagram for a long time that I'm big fans of. I guess I was a little scared that like reaching out as a new gallery with like no real social evidence that were legit. I didn't know how they would react, and so knowing that I had like all these friends that are artists and able to help me put on really cool shows, it made it easier for me. It made me feel better about starting it, and it turns out that a lot of, almost all the artists that I've reached out to that weren't in my inner circle were super cool about showing with us and believed in us, like, without any real evidence that we were legit. So don't be scared to reach out to people.
Are you running the gallery by yourself, or?
So I run it with my partner, my wife, Kate. I'm the art side. She's a lawyer, so she kind of takes care of all the contracts and makes sure that everyone is all set. And then she's also, it's also great to have someone there who's just like extra set of hands to help carry things or set things up. But yeah, she does a really good job with the contracts, making sure that there's definitely a lot of verbiage in there to show the artists that we care about them and we want to protect their artwork and not take advantage of them, which is important to me because I'm also an artist.
What kind of art do you do?
I guess a little bit of everything, but I did a lot of oil painting before I started graphic design. And lately, most of my art is just graphic design, but I hope to one day, if I ever get free time, to take up oil painting again. That was a lot of fun for me. Yeah.
That's super cool. Do you ever display your own artwork at Blue Triangle?
I haven't yet, but I've kind of thought about sneaking something in there at some point, because we kind of mix it up between smaller like solo shows where it's one artist with a lot of work and group shows where it's a lot of artists with like one or two things. So I think one of those group shows I could probably like sneak something in under a pseudonym and like see how people react without
get the reactions.
That would be fun.
Nice. And I guess kind of going into a little bit more of how your gallery functions with your shows, so how often are you kind of changing up the exhibits that you have, and kind of how does that whole process work with kind of having a show or an exhibit?
So I try to plan out, I'm a little behind right now, I try to plan out about 6 months at a time so that artists have time to work and get ready for it and everything. But as far as like the yearly schedule, we try to do a show almost every month with a couple months as like a break. So with the holidays coming up, our November show will stay up until probably early January, and then our next show will be in February, and then it'll probably be pretty consistent after that, month to month. So we rotate it out fairly frequently.
Do these shows typically have like a general theme or something the artist can, you know, look to, you know, create the art?
Yeah, that's a good question. For the group shows, we usually do, we try to come up with like a loose theme so that even though we have a bunch of different artists in the show, once it's hung, there is a little bit of coherency throughout it. So, like, our first show we ever had was just sort of based on our name, like, Blue Triangle. So we called it True Blue and just had, like, a theme of blue. Like, you could paint anything you want, make art about anything you want, but, like have either the color blue in it or, like, go after the feeling of being blue or, like, interpret blue however you want. And it ended up coming together really well where, like, nothing stood out as being too jarring, but it, like, flowed and meshed well together. We've also had a show of all tattoo artists, which was really sick.
Oh, wow.
It was maybe like 25 tattoo artists. And on one side of the room, we did the art that they make for their shops to put on people's bodies. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of the room was art that they just create on their own when they have no constraints and can do whatever they want. And it was kind of cool to see them like compared to each other, because some artists, like, their work they did outside of the tattoo shop, like, mimicked their tattoo work fairly closely, but some were, like, wildly different. Mm-hmm. Like, one artist dropped off this incredible oil painting that looks like it could be in the Isabella Stewart Gardner. It was, like, an incredible still life, like, kind of a dark theme, which was cool, but he dropped it off, and I was like, do you have the right gallery? Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow, that's such an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, any, looking back, did you have any favorite, you know, themes or concepts for these events?
Oh, that's hard. They're all so good. I think it's a show that I'm going to try to keep doing yearly, and it'll be every February for Lunar New Year, and we just do it based on what the animal for the Lunar New Year is. So, like, this February, it was Year of the Dragon. We did, I felt like because we're in Chinatown, it would be cool to have a show with, like, all Asian artists. Mm-hmm. So we reached out to a bunch of Asian artists, mostly in, like, the New England area, and then a couple from other parts of the United States, and just, like, filled the room with dragons, and then hung a bunch of lanterns from the ceiling, and then we're also above a kung fu studio. Oh, so, cool. Like, in the middle of the show, the students from the kung fu studio came up with the whole, like, lion costume and the drums and did, like, the lion dance in the middle of the show. Mm-hmm. It was really amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play favorites, but that was in the top. The top three, maybe.
Nice. Was that the first time you did it was this past February?
Yeah. So this next February will be Year of the Snake, and I'm hoping we can kind of rekindle some of that magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had seen that. That sounds like a really cool show.
I also put a car in the gallery once, which was not easy. That was
how did you get
a wild one. That was an artist. Remember when I was talking about, like, reaching out to artists you don't know?
Yeah.
That was this artist who goes by Pretty Cool Strangers, and he's all digital. He does, like, poster designs based off of song lyrics and, like, quirky old cars. Mm-hmm. And he has, like, I don't know now. He probably has, like, over 100,000 followers and stuff. So I was like, I don't know if he's going to want to do this, but he was super psyched. And I was like, what if we take one of your car posters and we make it real in the gallery? So I started looking around, and I found a car that was similar to one of the cars he did was it Craigslist or Marketplace? One of those things. Mm-hmm. And it was cheap because it didn't run anymore, but the outside still looked nice. So I got a crew of friends. A friend from Detroit, actually, who's a big car guy, came out, and we cut it up into 5 pieces and carried it up the stairs because there's no elevator. So third floor, we brought these car pieces up and then put it back together.
Oh my God.
Well enough that you could still, like, get inside and pretend you were driving it and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that was wild. And then our friend Joe Banda, who has the current solo show, also works at a sign shop, so he really helped us out by making all of these signs to hang around the car to match the graphic elements in the poster. So when you looked at the car once you entered, it really did look exactly like a 3D version of the poster that Pretty Cool Strangers designed.
Nice. Did you have them kind of, like, side by side?
We had them sort of across from each other, so you didn't see them together, right away, but when you turned around, you'd see the flat version.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be bringing a car in the gallery anytime soon again.
Maybe another vehicle.
Maybe something smaller.
Wow, that's amazing. I definitely need to come and check out some exhibits. What is happening right now? What kind of either exhibits do you have going on or shows upcoming?
Yeah, sure. Right now we have Joe Banda, good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He does a couple things. So he has a lot of these like cutout wood panels that are fairly large, and they usually are a lot of them are like bundles of snakes tangled together. Mm-hmm. And inside the snakes he draws all these heads of people, and they're kind of like mutated and strange people, and from far away it kind of looks like the scales of the snakes. Mm-hmm. And then when you get up close you see all these people in there, and I like to try to pick out certain ones and give them the names of my friends. But what's really cool about them is he uses all these automotive painting techniques. So if you've ever seen like Pimp My Ride or like lowrider cars that have like the color changing paint or mm-hmm. like the crazy sparkles in them, like he does all that sort of paint on it as like a base layer, and then he'll paint his guys on top and then do like a super shiny smooth clear coat on it. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a really polished, clean work of art. And then he also does these smaller panels that are sort of like little kind of chaotic collagey comic mm-hmm. things, and when you look at them and read them, there's all these little like anxieties that pop up that I think he feels are like personal to him, but mm-hmm. I feel like everyone who's read them relates to them in some way. So they're pretty universal mm-hmm. and really fun to go around and like look real close and read all the little thought bubbles that he like pours out into his art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
And then we also have a little side gallery in the bathroom that's sort of separate, and it started as a joke during our first show when a friend of mine was like, why didn't you invite me to the show? And I said, we still have room in the bathroom. So he showed up with like 12 little paintings, and we hung them in the bathroom, and it was this big hit where like people were waiting in line to use the bathroom, but other people were in there like looking at the art. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fun, so we've kept that going. And right now we have a tattoo artist that goes by Tall Boy in there, and his wife Krusty Jane. Okay. And Tall Boy does like watercolor paintings. Mm-hmm. And Krusty Jane does little collages. They have sort of a mm-hmm. 70s vibe to them.
Nice. And are those displayed together in the...
Yeah, usually it's one person in there, but mm-hmm. they're kind of a team, so...
Yeah.
So they're in the... We call that the bathtub project, because there's, like, a bathtub in there from the gallery was... It's a converted old, like, loft apartment, so... Mm-hmm. We usually fill the bathtub up with plants and stuff, and then hang the art all around it.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then the next show is November 15th. It's Krista Perry. Mm-hmm. And she's an amazingly talented painter and designer. She does a lot of work for like greeting cards, makes really fun, quirky greeting cards and wrapping papers, tote bags. She also does a lot of editorial stuff for newspapers and magazines and things mm-hmm. like that. But really bold, colorful, kind of vintage looking, quirky. It's going to be really fun. And the bathtub project is artist and friend Helen Poppenchalk, who mm-hmm. Also runs the gallery at Simmons University, Trussman, and she's got all kinds of crazy ideas. I don't want to spoil them right now, but I'm excited to see what happens in there.
That's okay. I really have to check out some of these upcoming events. Do you usually have... because I know you said it was like in an old loft apartment. Do you kind of have one main space where... you're showcasing the art, or is it kind of like in multiple different rooms?
Yeah. It's mostly one big open space. Mm-hmm. And then we use there's a couple other smaller spaces in there that we use as like a print room and an office. But the main space is pretty open, and then the bathroom is its own little space.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. And I know you mentioned that you have a lot of friends and that you will showcase their art, and I'm kind of wondering, like, how else or what other ways you find other artists. I know you mentioned reaching out is just, like, a really big part of it.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of specific type of work or specific kind of, like, art that you look for typically? Or kind of what's your process for looking for new displays?
Yeah. Sometimes that's tough when people ask, like, oh, what kind of art do you show? Because in reality, it's just, like, I have a weird taste in art that's like I think it's really cool, so that's what I show. It can kind of vary a little bit here and there, but I would say a lot of it revolves around like folk art, street graffiti art, tattooing, illustration, that kind of world. We go a little bit more for visual delight rather than conceptual. Not that we don't like conceptual. Like, I do like it to be conceptual, but I also like when you walk in to just be like, wow, this looks, like, really cool. So I kind of lean in that direction. As far as finding artists, I go to a lot of open studios at the different art buildings around the city, and I try to get out of the city, too, to go to other New England open studios. I watch for other art shows to see, like, if anyone's popping up, that's cool. Occasionally an artist will, like, drop us a line on Instagram or in our email, and if I think it fits the vibe of the gallery, I add it to a list of artists that I'm considering. That can be tough sometimes, because we have had artists reach out that are really amazing artists but don't necessarily fit our vibe, and, like, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. That can be one of the tough parts of running the gallery.
Yeah, how do you usually handle that when, and kind of saying that you don't really...
I mean, it's always good to start with something good. So I like to, like, compliment the art and tell them that I really do like it and give, like, genuine compliments. And then just say that it's not really the right fit for this gallery. But if I have another idea of another gallery in town that... it would fit really well, I try to pass that on to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have other galleries in Boston that are still here today that you really like?
I still really just like Trussman Gallery over at Simmons. That's they put on some really cool shows there.
And that's not just student art.
It's not student art. But they only do a show almost per semester. They do four shows a year. So it's not as consistent as what we do. But yeah, it's a really beautiful space, and, like, they can do some cool stuff there that, like, we can't, because they have really, really tall ceilings. And yeah, it's amazing.
Nice.
So that's probably my favorite spot.
Yeah.
Hoping some others pop up. But.
And I guess just kind of like a final question. I'm curious, where did you come up with the name Blue Triangle?
Oh, that's a fun one. The building we're in has been, like, sort of a weird artist music space for a long time. And when I moved in, before the gallery, I lived in one of the units, like, up higher in the building. And we used to just get mail that said Blue Triangle on it with no names or anything.
Oh, really?
And it always just kind of, like, struck me as, like, this cool little mystery thing. And I asked some roommates that had been in there longer, and they said it was, like an art event space that would have, like, after parties for shows and, like, weird performance art things. And I just thought it fit, and I liked the mysteriousness of it from when I moved in there. Yeah, that's about it.
Nice. That's such a cool background and kind of continuing the same, carrying on the same kind of concept of art and everything. It's really cool.
There's a lot of people that come in and they're like, I think I've been to something here before. So that's fun.
Sometime in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about Blue Triangle and kind of your background. It's been super insightful. And
thank you.
Definitely to anyone listening, we have an upcoming show in November. Mm-hmm. And Joe Banda's work is up now. Will that be...
Yeah, Joe Banda's work is up now. We usually do open hours on Fridays and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a small closing reception on November... 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, November 3rd. We also have other little events that pop up throughout the different shows, so that mm-hmm. might be fun if you want to check it out on our Instagram or our website. We'll post about it there. Okay. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, definitely keep an eye out. Have to go visit. And yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this was
great. Of course.
Great.